The layoff machine begins to slow.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good morning. The pace of layoffs slowed down last month. Employers cut 539,000 jobs. That's less than expected, and the smallest loss since October. Those laid-off people, though, well, it's hard to find a new job these days. The unemployment rate has climbed now from 8.5 to 8.9%. This is the morning open. Wall Street's been in business for about 20 minutes. Let's see how traders are reacting. Positively, the Dow is up 125 points, or 1.5%, at 8,535. The NASDAQ and S&P 500 are both up about 1.5%. Major European markets up 1.5% to 2.5%. Asian markets closed mostly higher today. On the line with us is Jim Dunnigan, Chief Investment Officer of PNC Wealth Management. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Bill.
The big story, of course, is unemployment. What's your take on the news?
As you said, we're starting to see a shift from worse than expected to better than expected.
Mm-hmm.
So though pace of job losses are declining, you're right, the headline unemployment rate is still there, but overall better news for the economy.
Why did layoffs come in relatively low?
I think you're starting to see the economy, the pace of economic contraction slow. So we've laid off a lot of jobs in the fourth quarter and the first quarter of this year, and you're starting to see companies decline in that. And hopefully we'll see that continue to contract here and better economic news as we get into the balance of the year.
But still, 8.9%, and we hear it's going to get worse. The average person says, how does this say recovery?
Well, you start to see economic employment numbers are a lagging indicator, so they will continue to increase as we get toward the end of the recession. So if we're forecasting an end of the recession at the third quarter, we'll likely see that peak in the summertime and then start to see some better news on unemployment.
And Jim, I want to get a quick take on the bank stress tests. Those are now official. We've been whispering for so long. What's it all mean to you?
I think the good news, there were no surprises. Second piece, it's better that it's behind us. So I think we've removed a lot of the uncertainty that was out there within the banks, and we're probably going to turn from are they going to make it to start to looking at how much money will they make going forward.
Jim Dunnigan, Chief Investment Officer of PNC Wealth Management, thank you.
You bet.
Now let's get the story behind those April unemployment numbers. Here's Tamara Keith in Washington.
More than 500,000 people losing their jobs in 1 month isn't a good thing by any interpretation. But like a lot of things in this economy, it could have been worse.
The important thing is that April looks a lot better than March. And given the signals we're getting from the economy, I think we can assume that May will be substantially better than April as well.
Nigel Galt is an economist at IHS Global Insight. Manufacturing, retail, and construction all cut jobs in April, though not as many as the month before. Galt says that while the pace of job losses is slowing, the unemployment rate is going to keep rising. It's at 8.9% now, and he figures it will top out near 10.
I'd say really for the rest of the year, we'd expect to see the labor market continue to deteriorate. But the important thing is that the deterioration is going to gradually slow. And then by the time we get to 2010, that's when we can actually look forward to seeing jobs being created.
The jobs market is always one of the last things to recover. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
In a few minutes, we'll meet an American who thinks he might get laid off, and it can't come soon enough. In other news this morning, Fannie Mae says it needs $19 billion more dollars in government aid. The mortgage finance company posted a $23 billion loss in the first quarter. This is the Morning Report for Friday, May 8th at Marketplace.org. We learned about those bank stress tests today. They were done on 19 huge American banks, which, of course, is not the whole financial system. There are thousands of little banks across this country that businesses and consumers depend on. What are their prospects? Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
Brian Battle has been advising small banks on how to get through the recession. He's a vice president with Performance Trust Capital Partners.
You go into self-preservation mode and you don't extend yourself because you want to live to fight another day.
You mean like a spy?
Sure, yeah, sure. And that makes you very suspicious and suspect and very careful about how you lend and what sort of risks that you take.
The problem is small banks have lent heavily to commercial real estate projects like office parks and shopping centers. But now fewer people are shopping, so stores can't pay their leases and malls are defaulting on their loans. Office parks are losing tenants too. Rajiv Dhawan is the director of economic forecasting at Georgia State University.
This is a serious problem, and that is going to be the next shoe that is going to drop.
Already, there are rumors that President Obama's economic advisors are considering injecting money into small banks. So the bailout could live on. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
The Bank of England has stepped up efforts today to revive the British economy. It's buying more bonds worth billions of dollars. Yesterday, the European Central Bank said it would also resort to the same emergency measure, a reminder that the global economy is not totally in the clear. Stephen Beard reports from our European desk in London.
The Bank of England has already created $70 billion worth of new money to buy bonds. It now plans an additional $120 billion for the same purpose. The process aims to pump much-needed cash into the economy to force long-term interest rates even lower. Some describe it as a central bank's last desperate throw. The Fed's been doing it for months. Now the European Central Bank says it's going to start doing it too. Andrew Hilton is with the CSFI think tank. He says stock markets may be booming, but there's still real trouble in the real economy.
Most economists feel that the economic situation is at best bottoming out, but it's nothing to get excited about, that the problem is continuing, it may even get worse.
Another leading analyst says that the recovery, when it eventually comes, will be extremely anemic. But he says anemia is better than rigor mortis. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Portfolio Magazine shut down last week. The high-end business publication is the latest to end up on the Condé Nast chopping block. And yet, in this climate of cuts, a new glossy is counting on those that will still spend. Sally Herships has more.
If you're worth $10 million or more, you could be on the receiving end of the latest luxury glossy. Prestige Magazine arrived this month in New York City. Christine Schott is the magazine's fashion director. She says the average household may be cutting back, but the ultra-rich are still spending.
The advertisers, you know, are still looking for consumers who have money, and Prestige New York has the consumers that they're looking for.
If it's true rich people are always out for the best deals, they'll like Prestige. It's free. Victor Ndavasky is a journalism professor at Columbia University. He says being free could be Prestige's biggest problem.
And as a general proposition, I think advertisers trust circulations more when people have paid good money for them.
Ndavasky isn't entirely pessimistic. The magazine's well established in Asia, and he says the poor economy has killed off much of its competition. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Okay, so as we've said, the unemployment rate rose to 8.9% last month. We have brought you many stories on this show about people suffering through job insecurity. So here's a guy who welcomes it. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson met this anonymous New Yorker. He was working for a startup that got bought. So now he finds himself at this big, well-known technology company. He's there despite his best efforts.
Okay, so somewhere along the way, the economy went down a little bit, and the big company started to lay people off. What did you think on those layoff days?
The first round, I was 50-50. I was saying, well, if I get laid off, okay, but it's not great, but it's not the end of the world. If I don't, then at least I still have a job and can wait 6 months and see what happens.
Okay, so that was the first round.
So second round, I was probably 65, 35, hoping to get laid off.
In this economy?
Yeah, well, it sounds a little counterintuitive, and as I've talked to my friends about this, some of them say you're crazy, some of them say, yeah, that should be fine, we know you. you'll land on your feet.
Why not just quit?
Well, money. I mean, you can get severance and unemployment.
How much severance are you looking at?
On the order of months.
And you would be able to do what?
Well, probably first I'd take a trip somewhere for a couple weeks and clear my head, and then come back and get back to startup world.
You want to be laid off in the next round?
Yes.
What are you doing to make that happen?
Well, that's a little tricky. You can't really ask to be laid off because that's essentially quitting. And I don't want to... I'm not doing anything unethical. I've been taking vacation as much as I can. I've been working from home a lot. You know, doing what I've been tasked to do, but nothing more.
How much vacation have you taken?
A lot.
Now, we're not using your name, but you are going on national radio with your voice to talk about this plan of yours. Is this a part of your attempt to get laid off?
Yeah. Maybe this will backfire and they'll just simply cut me. I don't know.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson there with John Doe on the streets of New York. So how are you reacting to the financial fallout? Desperation? Optimism? Reinvention? Let us know by visiting us online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. The Dow is ahead 120 points this morning at 8,530. Thank you for tuning in. Have a great Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.